This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob Cordaro Show Podcast, WILK News Radio.
Great. Good morning, everyone. It is a beautiful Wednesday, March 12th, year of our Lord, 20 and 25. This is the Bob Cordaro Show. I am he. Broadcasting today from what is the United States of America. I could prove it. We have actual leaders who care about Americans. And it's the place where the brave, like the veterans we honor today, courtesy of John Basiliga, Basiliga Hospitality, Thomas Daniels. He was from Monroe Township. Jack Tomko, Dixon City. John Elias, Kingston, Joseph Gal Gallagher, Muzik, Larry Yeager, Mifflinville, and James Bitting, Exeter Township. We celebrate them today, even though we've lost them recently. The United States of America, founded with a certain knowledge and understanding that the government is not, shall not, cannot be our parent, our guide, our direction, our salvation, not any of these things, but is nothing more than a necessary evil we require to organize and protect society. The United States of America, the country where for the first time in human history, freedom was declared to be an unalienable right granted to each individual by God. It was not something that could be parceled out to groups. It was not something that could be controlled by government or government officials. Our great American Constitution ensures and codifies freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association, economic freedom, and freedom of the press, whether we like what they're doing or not. Now, armed with these freedoms, and only because they had them, a ragtag bunch of immigrants, rejects, and their progeny created the richest, most powerful, most culturally diverse and accepting nation ever to grace our planet Earth. America, the only place specifically invented and designed so that every American can live their life in the manner they choose, unlimited by their background, upbringing, race, color, or creed, unhindered by the government or those who would use government to control others for their own comfort, benefit, or power. This Bob Cordaro Show will always be convincingly conservative, lovingly logical, proudly and passionately patriotic, and reliably right. And with that essential preamble dispensed with, we gavel to order this meeting of the Club for Common Sense, today's meeting, promising all of you a sanctuary of sanity within which to bathe, luxuriate if you choose. And but we do warn those of you who have chosen not to educate yourselves, it's not a safe harbor for stupidity. We will not suffer fools gladly. We've got a commitment to common sense. We don't have a commitment to a political party, just common sense. That literally, that's it. That's how easy it is. And we're telling our Democrat friends, and I know you're listening, by the droves, change your party. You don't have to change your party. Get it? All right. So we begin today's meeting, And reminding you that if you go to WILKNewsRadio.com, you can see my smiling, sometimes scowling moon face. And I've I noticed it's sort of noticeable. We have these garbage cans. We inherited them from the previous owners of the house. And they're these big, heavy garbage cans that you roll. Now, we don't have a ramp, so I mean, I gotta schlep them up a couple of steps. Not a big deal. But they roll. But they've got these connected lids. So the other day, I'm putting something in there, and the lid seems to be holding at a certain angle, open. And what do you know? It comes down and just clomps the bottom, the bridge of my nose. And so I've got this cut, and I said, I haven't had a cut on the bridge of my nose since we used to have something called a water helmet in football. And for some reason, every time you'd hit, in the old days, you used your helmet a lot. And you'd have this cut on the bridge of your nose the entire football season, and you'd sort of never get rid of it. And I'm looking at that now, and at 64 years old, it's not nearly as cool. But that's what it looks like. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Anyway, so you check out the news today. And I've got an article that I pulled. It's an Associated Press article. Yet it tells you everything you need to know about the enemy within. And a couple of fascinating things that have happened in our five to follow. First of all, and not in particular order of importance, but just in the order that I've written them. The goings-on with the Department of Education. They laid off about 1,300 of their employees last night. Now, these are just paper pushers. Nobody that's, as far as I know, probably very few that are actually adding to the educational system in this country. So when you look at the Department of Education and you say, well, they kept demanding more money and more money and more money, and you read Weingarten. Randy Weingarten crying, literally crying on TV. None of this money went to students. It went to their gang and to the teachers' union. And not the teachers, mind you. The teachers' union. And since the Department of Education was formed, and as its funding quadrupled and more, test scores and educational standards in America have dropped to the point where we are 40th out of 40 developed countries. and they're fighting for the Department of Education. Shouldn't, like, if Randy Weingarten cared about education, or this Boland woman in Scranton, they would be begging Trump to get rid of the Department of Education. Oh, that's a total failure. We can't. Our kids are good. No. Because the protection of the educational establishment and the agenda that they pursue in education is all important. So number one of our five to follow, Department of Education getting its wings clipped, thank God. And let us hope it's only the beginning. The rest has to be done, well, most of the rest has to be done legislatively to actually shut down the department. Number two, five to follow. The House passed a continuing resolution. Now, before they scream and yell and carry it out about cuts, in a $5-6 trillion budget, it only cuts $13 billion. So there are no cuts, okay? There are no, anyone who tells you there's cuts is lying, okay? And he says, oh, Rob brother, and he voted for Cut. You're lying. We're done playing patty cake with these liars. Done. So it goes out of the Senate. Now, all of you remember the apocalyptic speech of the Democrats like Chuck Schumer as this moves to the Senate for what a shutdown of the government means. And shutdown is in air quotes, which I can do on the live stream. I can do my Tommy Boy air quotes. So, you just, the liars and the lying liars. Now, we've shown you Chuck Schumer on the environment. We've shown you on immigration. He's a lying, disgusting, sickening, phony. He's a complete liar. So now the apocalyptic terms in which he described government shutdowns, we're going to see what he does. The suspicion is that he's going to allow enough Democrats to in the Senate to vote. Remember, you got to get 60 votes to end the filibuster. And theoretically, he could let seven or command or allow or command, whichever you prefer. We could allow seven Democrats to vote procedurally with Republicans so that there's an actual vote on the budget. And once you get past that, if this makes sense to you, then you only need 50 votes to approve the continuing resolution. Let us see what he does. If he does that, a modicum of respect from me. Then you have the Ukraine situation. Ukrainians and the Russians both stepping up attacks on each other as though they believe there's going to be a ceasefire. That's normally what happens. And as I've told you, and I'm not one of these I told you so people, but I have to do this. On the Friday, when all of the screaming and hand-wringing about Zelensky getting thrown out of the Oval Office happened, same thing with the terrorists, by the way, which is our next subject we're going to go to, I told you that the peace would happen. And without very much delay, and so Ukraine has agreed to a ceasefire. Now Russia has to do so. Ukraine has agreed to sign the minerals agreement, which we could use just as much as Ukraine can. And we're moving forward with Donald Trump's plan. And I go back to you Democrats. Well, just to the Dummycrats, not to the Democrats. I go back to you Dummycrats who either believe the lies or choose to lie yourselves. Oh, he's horrible. He's destroyed our world standing. All of the stupidity that was espoused by these people. Stuff it in your garbage compactor, okay? There will be Ukrainian peace. Number four. And by the way, if Joe Biden was there, there would be none. If the Democrats were in charge, there would be no peace. Number four, five to follow. The tariffs. U.S.-Canada. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, this is how negotiations happen. And I played clips to you. And the sad truth, the Canadians are screwing us. They're not only limiting American imports into Canada, they are also placing massive tariffs on American goods, the worst of all, in the area of 250% on our dairy products. So we've dropped our tariffs on their metal importing their metals to 25%. And it'll be ongoing. Okay? Is that enough? And then sort of a final, and the five to follow, is Trump being loyal. He bought a Tesla. They made a little display out of he knows that I don't care how much money you have. Tesla stock is half of what it was because he's helping Donald Trump and conservatives, meaning Elon Musk. And Trump made a big show in the back of the White House of buying a Tesla. Full boat, bust out retail from Elon Musk. And I thought that was a great showing of loyalty to someone who is devoting his time to... It is, and I don't use this word loosely, the existential cause of our time. Cutting the government down to size. And that's what Elon Musk and his band of merry men have chosen to do at the cost, only $200 billion to Elon Musk. That's all. So Trump shows sign of loyalty. He bought a Tesla yesterday, displayed them all out there for the media and so forth, and showed the conservatives, it's okay to buy a Tesla. Now, I'm not going to because I can't afford it, number one. But number two... I can't afford to have a third car. Or in my case, second. Cutie has one. I have one. Enough. That's all we can afford. They're good cars. They're great cars, actually. But that's all we got. That's all we can do. But I would buy a Tesla if I could. I really would. So, in any event, that's where we're at. That's our five to follow. Those are the subjects we're going to talk about. But we're going to continue to talk every day about... the swamp and what they're doing with trillions, not billions, trillions of your dollars. Now, I didn't see what happened last night in our little miniature swamp in the city of Scranton, whether the fools voted to continue a contract with a company that's done nothing for 3 years, so we're rewarding them with a 5-year contract. But I don't know what happened there. I could predict in my mind what happened, but I'd like to be pleasantly surprised. We'll see. Bob Cadaro, WILK, will return. Buddy Holly and the Crickets recorded their hit Maybe Baby. Murph says at Norman Petty's studio, Clovis, New Mexico. What an odd place. This date, 1957. Now, teacher, I've been thinking about this. They said, I can't say 19 and 57. 19 would be shorthand for 1957. Maybe, I would I be accurate if I said 1957 instead of 19 and 57? I'm going to still say it, but I do want to strive for correctness, particularly in light of the teacher texting me. And then 1933, this date. Franklin Roosevelt delivered the first of 30 radio addresses. And these were, I contend this, and I always have. One of the great things about radio, I find it the best medium there ever is. Not just because I owned radio stations and I'm on the radio now and all that. It is more intimate than television. It is three-dimensional for your mind. Television is two-dimensional, film, all that. And imagine 1933. Well, the vast majority of Americans didn't have radios, frankly. But Franklin Roosevelt was reaching them. And a nationwide address had never really been done before in any way. It just points out what an effective communicator FDR was. Because, I mean, his policies never worked. But... The main thing he did was give confidence to people that things were going to get better. And that was important. That's not nothing. So in any event. Somebody said, I think Scranton decided to hire a committee of 500,000 to study whether or not they should extend the contract. The pressure's on Billy King. Smurl and the doctor, they're going to vote for anything Mayor Cognetti wants. Blindly, stupidly, and on and on. They don't. They're part of the same ineffective government. King, I want some hope for. He's leaving office. He doesn't owe her anything. We'll see. I haven't found out about it. Body shop guys say, how about that piece of crap Tlaib voting against closing the cartel drug tunnels? She is a scumbag. By the way, all of those idiots, AOC, all of them, they're a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Anyway. Yeah, this EPA, there's an article I cut out of the paper, and I seldom do cut out of the rags because it's all Associated Press, New York Times feeds, and it's garbage. But I want to go to that after this. Unless you want to call in and talk, then of course I could change track. 570-883-0098. But it was an article in yesterday's papers, because they're all the same. EPA froze Green Bank funds worth billions. And these climate groups are now suing them for their money because that's what they do. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our veterans tribute, and then we'll talk more about the swamp. Our veterans this hour brought to you by John Basiliga, Basiliga Hospitality, and some of the greatest restaurant bar properties in all of Northeast Pennsylvania. The Old Brook Inn, Springbrook Township, Route 307. Far Street Tavern, West Scranton, reimagined neighborhood bar. Queen City Tavern, we're going to hear a little bit more about that from their general managers being redone completely. Scranton Art House, downtown Scranton. The home of KRZ's free movies and a Snow White premiere coming up. We'll have Jeff Walker on to talk about that. Aterra 519, the crown jewel of restaurants in Northeast Pennsylvania. And beneath Aterra 519 at the same address, 519 Linden Street, Sergey's, the nightclub. Outstanding. Speaking of outstanding, our veterans this hour, John Elias. He was 91 when he died December 31st. He was from Kingston. Born in Wilkes-Barre, graduate of E.L. Myers High School. He was a U.S. Army veteran serving us at Fort Knox, Kentucky. Thanks to the GI Bill, he was a 1959 graduate of King's College, where he was elected senior class president. He later earned a master's degree from the University of Scranton. He married his wife, the former Susan Harcharovka, in 1959. In 2024, they celebrated 65 years of marriage before his passing. His vocation was teaching. He began doing so at Woodbridge, New Jersey, returned to Wilkes-Barre and began teaching English at Myers, his alma mater. 1971, he was appointed the English department supervisor for the Wilkes-Barre Area School District. He retired in 1993, an adjunct instructor at Wilkes and King's Colleges. He did a lot of college prep for the SATs for a ton of youngsters in this area. His students always sought him out. He served as an appointed member of the Luzerne County Board of Elections 2001 to 2003. He was a baseball player. He loved golf. Penn State season ticket holder, but his heart belonged to Notre Dame. parishioner of St. Mary's Church of the Immaculate Conception, Wilkes-Barre. Surviving are his wife, Susan, a daughter, his grandchildren, and many other family members. John Elias. Joseph Gal Gallagher. He was from Moosic. He was 95 when we lost him on New Year's Day this year. He was from Moosic. Born in Minooka. Sadly preceded in death by his beloved wife of 63 years, Nancy. Gal graduated from Scranton Tech, the great Scranton Tech, in 1947. A proud veteran, he served us in the U.S. Army as a member of the 109th, the famed 109th Infantry. He was deployed to Germany during the Korean War. After military service, he worked in the accounting department at the Delaware, Lackawanna, and Western Railroad for 7 years. He later spent 30 years with the U.S. Postal Service, retiring in 1991. Gal and Nancy, they were snowbirds, 26 winters in their condo in Boynton Beach, Florida. He was known for his great memory. Member of the Minooka Notre Dame Club. He's survived by his four children, blessed with 9 wonderful grandchildren and 6 cherished great-grandchildren. Joseph Gal Gallagher, our veterans this hour, brought to you by John Basiliga and his amazing restaurants. Well, that means the weather, that sound. Storm Tracker 16 forecast meteorologist Joe Snedeker says, today a mix of clouds and sun with a chance of a late day shower, 53. Tonight, cloudy skies, 35. Thursday, mostly cloudy, 50. Friday, partly sunny, 60. So I guess the chances of rain have diminished. Yesterday, I was going to go to the Wizard and get the car washed. And Big Lou. But I said, oh, it's going to rain, and I didn't get it done. Now I wish I had. But it looks like a dry spate headed our way. I try to listen to Joe on the morning news every day, he or Ali Gallo, to find out what's happening. Because I've got this weather app on my phone, but it's not nearly as good as Joe and Ali. It just isn't. All right, let's talk about this. EPA froze greenback funds worth billions. Dateline Washington, a nonprofit that was awarded nearly $7 billion by the Biden administration to finance clean energy and climate-friendly projects, has sued President Donald Trump's Environmental Protection Agency, accusing it of improperly freezing a legally awarded grant. Climate United Fund. Do you see this? They are all over the Beltway, these disgraceful nonprofits. The Climate United Fund, which is listen to this. It's a coalition of 3 nonprofit groups. Okay? It's not one, it's 3. They demand access to a Citibank account. I talked to you about this yesterday. That it received through the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. It was part of the Inflation Reduction Act. It was the Green Bank is what it was called. It says the freeze threatens its ability to issue loans and even pay employees. See them sucking the teat? Do you see this? It's disgraceful. This is the combined actions of Citibank and EPA effectively nullify a congressionally mandated funded program, Maryland-based Climate United wrote in a Monday court filing. In a related action, so there's not just 3 with the $7 billion, there are more. Because remember, there's $20 billion in this Citibank account that they tried to shove out the door. So in a related action, the Coalition for Green Capital, a separate group that received $5 billion from the Biden-era program, sued Citibank Monday, alleging breach of contract. The 2 nonprofits are among 8 groups tapped by then-EPA Administrator Michael Regan to receive $20 billion of your money to finance tens of thousands of projects to fight climate change and promote environmental justice. In other words, to waste your money. It's insane. It's absolute insanity. It just goes on and on and on, and this money gets wasted. Now, and listen to this. This is the Keretsu, the government Keretsu in the United States. In addition to Climate United, the new fund has awarded money to other nonprofits, including the Coalition for Green Capital, Power Forward Communities, that's the Stacey Abrams scam, Opportunity Finance Network, Inclusive without an E at the end, and the Justice Climate Fund. Now, it goes further. Those organizations have partnered with a range of groups, including Rewiring America, Habitat for Humanity, and the Community Preservation Corporation. This swamp is so deep and so dark. And by the way, we may not get the names of the political operatives who are sucking money out of all of these supposed nonprofits. Wow. It's unbelievable. And it is such depth. And it is such corruption. The level of corruption is outrageous. Why do you think they layer it through all these nonprofits? And each of the nonprofits has legal counsel. And they've got employees and staff making big bucks. And they've got consultants and consultant firms and law firms. And that's how they all survive, on your dime, doing nothing. Oh, well, they're doing something. They're getting Democrats reelected. They're running fundraisers. And they're working polls, and they're doing all those kinds of things you have to do to organize to have people who vote for your money get reelected. Wow. The depth is scary. Let's take our break. Let's hear from our great sponsors. The swamp is real, guys. It's real. And it continues. Murph tells us that on this date, 1966, the Beatles moved from number 25 to number 7 with their hit Nowhere Man. It had been released 2 weeks earlier. And I remind the younger amongst us that you had to go to Joe Nardone's record, Joe Nardone's Gallery of Sound, and buy the record. And it had to be replicated all over the country. That's how you determined which songs were which. And did you hear Mike Stevens? Bulldog found this. This date, 1993. I remember that blizzard. A three-day blizzard known as the Storm of the Century, inundating the eastern third of the United States. It started on this date that year. I remember it well. We had two radio stations in the old Warm Building down near the airport. And the interstates were closed. So I felt, well, we're an emergency, you know, we're an essential service. And I had this big Suburban. And so I was ferrying the employees, the on-air people, back and forth to the radio station, and the Suburban made it through. They didn't even plow the highways. That's how big it was. Yeah, that was very memorable, very memorable. People remember that, but it's good to remember what year. So some of the nonsense, a bunch of you texting in. By the way, Mr. Paul tells me that, yes, Billy King collapsed, voted with the mayor, and they approved Mayor Cognetti's 5-year additional contract to the company called Rubicon to tell us how to pick up our garbage when they failed to tell us in the first 3 years of their employment by the city. It's insane. It's exactly like, and then look at the little sisters of these grifters, just like Paige Cognetti, they do this. This is what they do with your money. It's outrageous. Somebody said, are you planning to address the commercial your station is running during your show about how the Republicans are cutting Medicare? Yes, I was planning. It's insane. And it's not Medicare, so to speak. I told you what they're doing. I mentioned the one drug that Medicare and Medicaid, the federal government, pays $8,000 for, and it could be had for $200 if just a normal human being bought it for a savings of $600 million. Well, they're going to call that a cut. They're liars. That commercial is a lie. We've gotten to the point where lying is so natural to the Democrats because they say, well, if Donald Trump lies, we're going to lie. But see, they're lying about real things. He's exaggerating things that don't even matter. I'll give you an example. I don't know where he got the number. There's some basis in it, I'm sure. But he says, we've given $350 billion to Ukraine. The number I have, and I've tried to be very accurate, is $193 billion. Now, so he's exaggerated that number. Okay, fine. I'll concede that. What difference does it make, though, in your life, my life, whatever? He's exaggerating to make a point, which is valid even at $193 billion. And by the way, he may know some things I don't know. So I'm not saying he's lying or making it up. I'm just saying by my numbers, it's an exaggeration. So what happens? Now, when you lie about Medicaid cuts, like they're doing with poor Rob Bresnahan, it's a sickening disgrace. On behalf, by the way, of Paige Cognetti, who intends to run for U.S. Congress. She intends to use, because see, she's been discovered as a completely ineffective mayor who wastes money by the millions that could go to pave your streets, knock down condemned buildings, and make the city function better. But she sucks. So there you are. She stinks as mayor. Now, during her entire career, and again, the reason I pick on her, which I don't want to do, I'm sure she's a nice person. In some ways, many ways, even. Who knows? She's so typical of the people who do nothing, accomplish nothing, in all these supposed finance jobs she's had, and now we see it as mayor, we saw it as school director, accomplishing nothing, literally nothing to point to for her time in office and her time at these various financial companies. And they just keep floating along because they grease the wheels of the people who are going to hire them in the future or support them if they continue to be candidates. And it's all done with your money. All done with your money. Bob, $193 billion in cash to Ukraine. You have to add all the military help, aid, and equipment. I have added that. I have included it. Now, what Trump is probably talking about and where he gets to this number somehow, like our intelligence that we're providing. There's a cost to that. And if you assigned 100% of the cost of the intelligence to them instead of doing it for ourselves, then you really get up there. Okay. That's my point, though. Somebody said they dial in at council. Yes, they do. They call into these meetings. And somebody said you would think they'd have a blood pressure cuff on Billy King. Yeah, well, he voted for it. So you know what? He deserves whatever opprobrium is heaped upon him. Somebody says the city also scrapped the pave cut company from Pittston. $500,000 with no mention if they gave it back. We will drain the pond. Change is coming. I'm a Gene Barrett guy. Now, somebody here texted and said he's running as an independent in the fall. Either way. So he said, Bob, we're also praying for Ukraine's infrastructure, police, fire departments, local government. We're paying their pensions. I know. I've counted all that. I just want you to know. But, guys, understand my point. He's right, even if he's exaggerating. When they're talking about Medicare and Medicaid cuts, they are lying. There's a big difference. When he said, Bob, by funding Ukraine to defend its freedom, we are preventing World War III. That's possible. But don't overlook the fact that Joe Biden caused it. Democrat weakness caused it. Joe Biden's frailty, physically and mentally, caused it. Joe Biden's restraint of our energy complex caused it. So he said, Mike Johnson said there are Medicaid cuts, but he used the euphemism to fool people. They're cuts. Not the services people. And I'm looking at the third page of the paper and all the usual people are screaming and crying about Medicaid cuts. All trying to put their hand on it. They've all got their hands out for your money. People are going to get treated. They're going to get medical treatment. Anything else is a lie. I told you, $6 trillion budget, $13 billion in cuts? Does that tell you enough? All right, Bulldog tells me I'm way over time. My apologies. Let's go to the news with Brian Hughes. He's standing by. He's ready for action. We'll come back with the Bob Cordaro Show after that.
WILK News Radio. This is the Bob Cordaro Show podcast.